I did want to make one quick announcement before we adjourn. This is my seventh year. My term will come up next year. I got 1 year left in the term, and I've made a decision that I will not seek re-election at the end of that term.
I had the same reaction that Tenney Day Broughton had. No! Jared Moore is so good. Mayor D.C. Reeves is on the line with us. No, it's a weird time. We just got our schedules confused earlier. But Mayor Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir. Big announcement yesterday.
Yeah, I know. I had the same reaction you did and she did. Jared has been a friend that I've learned a lot from. When you're new into city government, it's nice to have someone you can trust that certainly puts the community first in every decision and that he's made before I was here and certainly while I've been here. And as I said at the press conference, I really think he set the standard of what you hope to have when somebody represents a city, which is convictions and beliefs in that are good for the community. But also in disagreement, it was always handled diplomatically and always handled collaboratively. How do we get to yes, and how do we do something good for the community? And that's rare, and it was certainly appreciated.
I've been kind of saying this all morning that I would trust Jared with my money, with my kids. I trust him, and to the point where most people come and tell you, hey, the sky is green. You're like, come on. If Jared Moore told me the sky was green, I'd be like, well, I haven't checked this hour. it probably is.
That's right.
That's just, an honorable person. I wanted to talk with you about this this 9th and Creighton development, which, of course, has been in the works. It was going to originally be – it got a rezoning approved because it was going to be an Aldi over the objection of the neighbors, and now it's going to be a Circle K. And, of course, people are even more upset. I think you and I have talked about this. I know I've talked about it on air with some other people, but I've never understood why we can't do development plan contingent zoning approvals, where you've got this zoning change approval for 2 years for this project, and if this project doesn't materialize, the zoning reverts.
It's a good question, and it's certainly, I can tell you, it's one that we have been asking, and hopefully we can get something a little more modernized. Within state law, that's always the big question,
right?
What you can and can't do from a legal perspective, but as we've gone through our land development code, certainly this is, we're going to have different examples throughout the years of things that seem to make a lot of common sense that maybe aren't in our code or haven't been. That's why we do it, is to go through those things. And certainly I'm disappointed, and I think I certainly don't have a whole lot of sympathy for the change in plan, other than I do think it is important to point out that between the proposal and the development, Aldi was bought by bought Winn-Dixie, which of course there's a Winn-Dixie, a couple thousand feet away.
Yeah.
So in defense of the notion that, they just were making that up and then just decided to not do it, there were other outside circumstances that certainly caused that. Nonetheless, that, certainly as a neighbor and as someone who, is very passionate about hoping that the city can do what we say we're going to do. And we did in this case, but to your point, we're pretty limited on what we can do in this scenario. And if there's any hope for the future that can be changed, because of course your idea makes all the sense in the world, right? Hey, you promise you're going to do this. We can hold your feet to the fire. We do that in leases. We do that in contracts. We do that in all sorts of different contingencies.
Right.
If we were to donate a building at Baptist, we would say, we'll donate it to you so long as you do this, this, and this.
Right.
And so, it can be done. And just unfortunately, be it archaic code, state law, or otherwise, I'd have to get the expert on. That hasn't been something that we could have as much teeth in this particular case.
I just know that every time we have rezoning hearings, this is the problem that legislators or the board complains about is, well, we like this project, but we don't like what could happen if we approve the zoning that makes this project lawful in that zone, and we'd like to limit against that. Well, good Lord, why should we be stuck with the box? It's all or nothing for the box. Why can't it just be the one piece? And, I get all the spot zoning concerns, all that kind of stuff, but it just – there's got to be a way to approve the thing we like that is the exception without having to embrace all of the horrible stuff that comes with making that exception. That's – and, anyway, so
– exactly. And listen, if if government made perfect logical sense, then I'd probably have less gray hair than I have right now, and things would move faster. Because I've been in it for 3 years doesn't mean I can't zoom out and realize, that there's some critical thinking that can certainly be done. And if there's anything that the city can control in that, we absolutely will take a look.
And as you say, I mean, look, Eastgate Plaza is, I mean, literally a block over, and, you know, they're going to get an Aldi. And by the way, though, I think it's bad for the neighbors. It's actually a really good location for a gas station. I made the point yesterday that there's not real close by there anywhere, which is kind of interesting. I mentioned this the other day. There is a story in Florida, Phoenix, about the county commissioners in some of the counties that were lambasted by Governor DeSantis and I think Blazingoli, if I remember correctly, that for their Doge failures and wasting all this money. Of course, we got lumped into that for a variety of things. At the time, you responded that these criticisms don't make sense and or with the Sanger, they're completely false. But let's wait and see what the final report says. And I said, OK, give the receipts. Show me the final report. It's been a month, 2 months. Have we actually seen the investigative results from the Florida Doge so-called expose?
We have not. And what we continue to do is do our jobs for 55,000 citizens, as we did before, during and after. And you know, when something hits my desk, we'll take a look and assess from there. But as of now, we have not seen a report nor even really heard any follow-up in at least a month, if not more.
All right. So they threw the bomb. They did a press conference. It got all the headlines, and there's been no substantiation whatsoever. Cool. turning to other matters. This is actually really neat. You and I were talking off the air before you came on this morning, and we were talking about you were at Amelia Island for, is it the Rodell Institute? Is that what it was?
Yeah. It's really cool. You get invited as a cohort of 24 people, and it's 12 Republicans, 12 Democrats that are only local and state, no congressional, federal folks throughout the United States. And so, for example, my class has the Attorney General from New Mexico and Massachusetts. It's got a state House member in California, in Hawaii. And then there's, you know, Ohio and actually several mayors, including Mayor Lily Wu from Wichita, obviously had a difficult year of tragedy with the plane crash in Washington, D.C. that came from Wichita. And then the mayor of Louisville, who is a friend and also going through, you know, something similar. So but the point of it is not we don't debate hot button issues against Republicans and Democrats. The whole idea is we do readings. We reread the Declaration of Independence and we talk about it and what does it mean in today's society and how, you know, just
cool.
What's really cool is it's the whole idea is that you can be human beings that can be diametrically opposed on issues, but you're real people. And that's really the big takeaway. So it's learning and trying to teach all of our elected officials around the country about, you know, how we can try to do a better job of working together. And I would think probably no better time. They've been doing it for years.
Yeah.
Probably no better time to be in a class than right now, given what's going on and what our rhetoric is as a nation right now.
Man, I love the idea. I've not heard of this before, or at least if I had, I've forgotten. But that sounds like a wonderful thing. I love reading some of the original documents, thinking about the foundations of the country, and especially learning how to talk to people who generally don't see things our way. And, you know, the challenge, I'm sure you experienced this, but the challenge isn't so much that we have different facts, although sometimes that's the problem. The challenge is that we're operating from different paradigms, value sets, and hierarchies. And so, you know, the Republicans tend to talk in language that persuades Republicans, and Democrats tend to talk in language that persuades Democrats. And so
that's right.
We talk past each other because we're not addressing each other's worldviews and value systems, which is, you know, you can't persuade somebody from your value system. You've got to persuade them from their value system. And so learning how to understand there's enough to talk within it fluently is vital, right?
Exactly. And that's what's cool. I mean, we basically lock ourselves in a room for a weekend. We meet for 8 hours. And again, we have hundreds of pages of pre-reading to do, all sorts of things. And that's what's cool is you actually see how people's minds work who don't necessarily agree with you, where if you read it on a Facebook comment or on a YouTube video, you dismiss it. But when you're actually sitting down with some intentionality and hearing people coming from where they're coming from, geographically even, you know, challenges that we wouldn't even think about here, you know, and you might say, hey, I still disagree with that, but I can totally understand now where that might come from, even if I disagree. And so it's pretty powerful, and it you know, really resonated with me. And it's, you know, and it gives you kind of some a punch list coming back here, working with people you agree with or disagree with. And so, you know, it was very cool. I got to do, it's basically three meetings every 3 years, locking yourselves in, on a weekend and meeting together. And so we got one more in August in Denver. And but it's an invite only thing, certainly honored to be part of it. And it was a very cool experience.
I love it. I mean, it's, you know, it reminds me of something I don't probably say often enough on the radio, but the first rule of disagreement is agreement. Like, the first thing you should do when you find yourself in a debate with somebody is establish your common ground. You know, talk about, you know, oh, here's where we agree. It, first of all, it's disarming. Second of all, it's just like good philosophy to think about where you actually agree and you can build from there. Last thing for you for today, Mayor, is you talked a little bit about it yesterday, but I wanted to follow up. You were talking about 14th Avenue and Gregory and talking to FDOT about maybe closing off that intersection to 14th because of the turning and the rate of speed of people coming off the bridge. But this is separate from 9th and Gregory, where we've had all the red light runners, right? This is a different issue?
That's correct. This is right when you come off the bridge, the Fremont Bridge, northbound, kind of the overpass there. We've just seen an alarming trajectory of accidents coming off there. And listen, to put it simplistically, it's almost like if you were playing a simulation game where you took out a red light and you put in an overpass, well, then what's going to happen? Well, everyone's going to speed up. And so, again, I don't think anybody did anything wrong. I don't think FDOT's, you know, not living up to what they're trying to do and making the road safe. But I think that's the natural progression of when you used to have a light there. And I think we all agree that that light being gone from a traffic flow standpoint, it has been very positive and valuable. That being said, what's the unintended consequence? I think there's a lot of speed that's coming off that bridge. We're seeing it in terms of accidents. And I think we beat our last 3 years already through this year significantly. I think it was something like 22 accidents in that area. So it's alarming for us. And so what I'm really going to do is just reach out to FDOT and say, hey, here are our numbers. And, you know, they're the traffic engineers. And certainly we've got good ones around here too. But so I'm not trying to like pigeonhole a specific solution. As I joked, I'm, you know, an amateur traffic engineer now for a few years. But something needs to be done. And perhaps it's that little sliver of 14th Avenue down the hill there. I would say the first right turn on the McGuire's 5K, you know, going down hill. Is that something that's needed, or would it be more difficult if now to make everybody going southbound on 14th have to go all the way down to the Bay Center or to 11th Avenue and cut over? You know, cause safety issues, like a domino effect?
I don't
know. And that's what I want. But I do want them to take a look at it, because we can't sit idly by with that type of crash number trajectory. We can't.
Playing Frogger experience of trying to cross that traffic at that close proximity to the bridge, and as you say, because people speed, because it's the bridge into the, you know, massively wide Gregory's, all that. No, interesting. Okay, well, I look forward to more on that, because it's you know, I hadn't been thinking about that, and I did not know those numbers, but those are significant. We always like to end with a bit of a, you know, lightning round for you. The first question for the day is, the other day was National Name Your Computer Day. Do you name your computer, your phone, your car?
Only four-letter words in certain moments.
So choice, generic imperatives or imprecations, but not actually a name. Okay, all right, I got you.
They all have an exclamation point at the end, other times I call it computer. Yeah.
What time should Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner be? Are they at the same time?
Ooh, man. You know what? I'm kind of like a early afternoon guy. I'm like a 2:30 type of guy. Like, gives you enough time to prepare, but not like way late, and then you spend your entire day doing it. I don't know if it makes me feel like I saved time, or makes us speed up, you know, a little faster. Yeah. I don't know.
Are you the cook for Thanksgiving?
Is there a survey you've seen? Is there a number one time?
That's pretty consistent. We had some people as early as noon. We do it more like 4 o'clock, but anywhere in that vicinity tends to be okay. Are you the cook?
Okay. No. So I came up with the idea that I'm the master turkey carver. So
you're the Clark Griswold,
nice, because it allows me to minimize my time in there in the kitchen. See, and then I can. I've been like a good solid 20, 25 years on that.
Oh, nice. Your best contribution is to stay out of the way, and I appreciate that. It's good to know your place. Last
hold
one.
Hold a weapon and stay out of the way, yeah.
Do you like to watch the parade, Thanksgiving, Rose Bowl, any parades on TV? Obviously, you're in parades for Pensacola, but do you like to watch parades on TV?
Yeah, I like having it on in the background. I don't know that I'm an intense watcher, maybe when Caroline was younger, but and just to see if the balloons blow away or something. But,
looking for the catastrophe.
Yeah, we keep it on the background while we're prepping.
Casual NASCAR Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade fan. All right, D.C. Reevesy is our mayor in Pensacola. D.C., have a great Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much for coming on at a little bit different time this morning. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thank you so much. Have a good Thanksgiving.